Hey everyone, welcome to Blind Bargains Cast episode 95. The guy on the other side of the microphone over there is Mr. JJ. I'm Joe, and we thought we'd sit down for a little bit and talk about the news and assistive technology for the first week of April 2017.
It's a normal show. No, it really is a normal show.
No kidding. This time it really, really
is. It really is a normal show. And no iOS news.
Well, maybe an iOS tip, but definitely okay. Information that is maybe not related to Apple. So no worries, no fast forwarding, no freaking out. Everything's good. In fact, we even have a couple of segments in the middle of the show.
Yes, I was at the CTEBVI, try saying that five times fast, conference. I happened to be near there in San Francisco. For a day, we had the opportunity to speak at a session and also decided to wander to the exhibit hall because that's what I tend to do at these conferences. And we have an interview coming up about the new Index Fanfold V5, another one of these big production embossers. It was at CSUN, but, you know, there was so many things at CSUN and we couldn't get to everything. So we covered it here. So that's coming up. And also Aaron Spears has a thing on a Bluetooth bathroom scale. It always could be a very useful thing to have, a tool to have. So that's coming up later in the show. So we definitely appreciate the listener contributions. And we can look forward to that stuff later on, along with a tip from Joe, like you said. And
last word,
Legos.
And
Legos.
Also, speaking of the CSUN conference, there's a lot of audio still back up there from the month of March, including some from our sponsors, HIMS, who have introduced the new Polaris Note Taker. They also have Go Vision. So definitely hear the audio for Go Vision, which we also did a specific audio for that, as we usually do, about for video magnification, as well as the blindness side for HIMS.
Yeah, you have the Polaris presentation. Both the presentation is from CSUN, so thank you so much to HIMS Lifestyle Innovation. You can visit them on the web at HIMS-INC.com. And also, if you go past last week's April Fool's show, if you want to catch up on all the technology stuff from CSUN, that is episode 93, which is a couple behind this one, and you can listen to Joe and I and Shelly and Scott talk about all this, the CSUN stuff, and catch up on the conference. So it's not too late to check out that if you wish. But that brings us to now, right?
I would say so. The news, which all of these stories are available over at blindbargains.com. Remember, you can leave comments in the show notes, or you can leave them in the individual stories that are listed here, which you can find on the front page of blindbargains.com, or in the specific show notes for episode 95. Now, I don't completely know this technology that we're talking about here. The moment. There's a Doctor Who reference here, but the moment means something else different to me. But moment is shipping. What are we talking about with this particular piece of technology?
Yeah, this is another wearable, and they had one shining moment last weekend.
Wait, nice.
It really works. And yes, I had to slip in the sports reference. This is another wearable. You thought we covered all the wearables at CSUN? No. There's even more. This is a wearable smart device from a team of college students from Arizona and Arizona State University. They won $100,000 last weekend for one, so that's awesome.
All right.
But it is a smart device that is going to work primarily with vibrations. The difference between this one and some of the others is it doesn't just have one vibration motor. It has four. So if you're wearing this thing on your wrist, theoretically, they claim you can do things like, you know, if you're supposed to turn left, it'll actually draw more of a pattern of a left turn that you would feel on your wrist. It's one of those things that I think I have to feel it to kind of see how this actually could work, but it's really intriguing. It's going to have an open API and software development kit. In other words, people can create their own stuff for it. It's going to have an app that goes with it. It's going to work with IFTTT, which is a really geeky and cool service.
You could hook it up to your Google Home.
You could, or your Echo, yeah. So you can trigger things like, you know, have Twitter or Slack or whatever, send notifications to this thing. $199 pre-orders are taking it now. So if you're looking into this space, if you're looking at the other options, which I'm still having struggle trying to name them all, but the Sunu Band or the Dot or the, what was the one that you did, the Watch for All Senses? Acoustica. Yeah. Still think I might be forgetting one. This is another one to look at.
And then put on the buzz clip and then those vibrating buzz clip, shoes.
That's the other one. Thank you. So that's okay. That's at least five. I mean, these are not all going to survive, but
And not only that, can you imagine taking all of those things off and having to charge them? You would need one of our multi-plug options available at AT Guys in order to charge them all when you walk in at home.
You know, I don't think we have a charger that would charge that many things at once. Might have to look at getting one of those. Those nice little power cubes that Speed Dots has, which I always put in. I bring one to our convention booths because they work really well for things like that. But yeah, you're right. The thing about charging is definitely an issue. But I like this idea, especially because of the open architecture and having an SDK and something that people can play with. I think that's going to be a key to any one of these things, because just like the note takers and like a lot of these other type of things, if you have a closed system, as Hims and Humanware learned, you can't develop things very fast with a closed system. Now they're on Android, which is a little more open, and other people can develop for them as well as themselves. So the same thing goes here. I know it's kind of a weird parallel to draw, but you get what I'm saying, right? As far as
and we're also into durability and wearability, and that it looks to those of who are not in our community like a normal wearable. Like if it looked like a Fitbit or something like that, that matters too, because you don't necessarily want to wear something that looks or draws attention for being something that is not necessarily what somebody would wear in the normal market. So that could be the mainstream market. So that could be an issue where you would want to be able to look at things to make sure that that is working. Is maybe you would use Supernova 16.03. The update is now available that allows you to use Office 2016 as well as Windows 10 Creators Update. Now, that particular update is about to drop anytime now, April 11th. So if your software is not ready for Windows 10 Creators Update, you should definitely make sure of that and make sure you're updated to the latest, because some companies will not be patching older software to work with a free Windows 10 update. But most of your majors have ZoomText 11, JAWS 18, and of course NVDA.
Yeah, so you're pretty much set as far as screen readers. I mean, we're definitely to the point now where you can actually get the latest version of Windows. You know, for those of you who are newer to the game, it wasn't always the case. You definitely had to wait for the okay.
A year in some cases.
Yeah.
Well, oh my gosh. Back in the days of Windows 98, you were always a year behind on updates.
It was crazy. So, Supernova, many people who are, oh my gosh, we're losing all the screen readers and JAWS is the only game left in town. Well, not necessarily so. Supernova is not a big player, especially here in the U.S., but it is in other countries, and they have been adding a lot of stuff lately. Maybe it deserves another look. You can get a 30-day free trial, which includes tech support over, you can call a UK number, but if you have, you know, free long distance or whatever, you can do that, or you can email them. So they've definitely been trying to add features and things like that, so maybe it deserves another look from some of you who are worried if your screen reader is going to be going away, or if you're trying to think about switching to something else. You know, there are still other options out there, and it's probably not fair to say, oh, it's all just JAWS or just JAWS and NVDA.
Yeah, and American tech support is available in New Jersey. Mr. Gareth Collins, a good friend of mine.
Oh,
who,
nice.
So that's available. I spoke to him at CSUN. I didn't do my normal, let's sit here and talk about British television for at least 2 hours at the booth kind of thing, which we've been known to do. So that's not a good thing for Gareth. But it's a great time for us, but not necessarily for anybody else. Dolphin is super active on Twitter. They actually tweet a lot of great information. So you should follow Your Dolphin. Yeah, you did. Your Dolphin is a great thing to follow. But if you are going to tweet at them, you probably want to make sure that you are not using the default egg icon on your Twitter profile.
But it's not an egg anymore.
Well, that's true too. It's been changed so that way. But what had happened here was that a lot of people would create bots or create fake accounts and do harassment or spammy type things on Twitter. In fact, there was somebody saying the other day in an article that there were 48 million fake accounts on Twitter, which seems like a lot until you get to Facebook, where some people believe
honestly
that there's 10%. You think?
Just seeing all the random spam as quickly as they get created, it seems really low. But what Twitter is saying is you're more likely to be a spammer if you don't have a profile photo. So there is an option for users to what you can call mute accounts that don't have a profile photo. So we know a lot of people that are blind might overlook the profile photo and think, oh, there's no use for it. But perhaps you might want to rethink that. And we've actually put instructions up on our website on how to upload one. Help me out a little bit here, Joe. Profile photos, it's not always your picture, right? There's
mine currently is not a picture of myself. Mine is currently a picture of the USS Defiant from Star Trek Deep Space Nine. And that is currently my pick. And I change it from time to time, depending on what's going on in science fiction or video games. It's just a profile picture could be something that says something about you or what you're into. My Facebook one is the master control program from the movie Tron from the early 80s, 1982. So I rarely use pictures of myself, not because of anything that I don't like my picture or I don't care what people see what I look like. It's just I prefer to have kind of a more personality-based picture up there, and I change it from time to time.
Yeah, it just gives a little bit of personality to your account as well. I mean, especially if you are doing any sort of marketing or promotion on social media, you definitely want to pay a little bit of attention to the visuals. I say this as we're working on making the Blind Bargains website a little more visually appealing, which is something it often gets overlooked by blind people who are just, you don't think about that every day because it's not really in front of you, but it certainly is important to recognize that people consume media visually, just as you would hope that they make things accessible for you in an audio fashion. It is a two-way street here. So,
absolutely. And procurement officers generally are visual in nature. So if you're selling something to a nonprofit or to someone in business, those people are very materialistic in the way that they approach things. In fact, on a very detailed oriented basis, because that's what their jobs are, is to look into those kinds of things to find anomalies. And, having your logo is something that would help provide some solace to those individuals who purchase things on a daily basis. That's their job, to know that you're a legit biz or that you have everything on the up and up. Having a default profile pick up there, that doesn't say a lot about your business prowess.
And like you said, it's no longer an egg, so it's not like a head and a... Have you seen it?
Yeah, somebody had said if you added a pair of eyes, it made it look like a Muppet, this default-looking head. But, I mean, now it's getting back to MySpace. Remember, your default friend was Tom?
Oh. You're taking me way back. It's supposed to be gender. They actually made a comment that they made the new default pick high contrast for visually impaired users. So there you go. They try to be inclusive, apparently, with the new default photo that they don't want anyone to use. It was in there.
Maybe it is a picture of Tom from MySpace. That'd be great. That would just be fantastic. Things you could actually do is send people a physical picture of your profile pic in case you have one. Maybe it is an 8x10 photo glossy of yourself, or it could be just some regular mail. It seems like the post office could be a great resource in being able to see where that mail is from. Tell me, Jay,
you're going to try this for all
your junk mail, right? All your spammy mail.
I am going to sign up for this. It's not available in Kalamazoo yet, but it might be there in Charlotte. You want to check this out. But this is a service from the post office called Inform Delivery. And what they will do is they will scan your mail. They're already scanning your mail anyway, right? Because they're running it through the machines. But what they will do is make those images available to you via email and kind of send you a morning digest of here's what's coming to you today, at least as far as letters and envelopes and things like that. So anything that is scanned and typewritten, theoretically, there would be a way to grab those images somehow. This is all theoretically because I haven't been able to try it out myself. But they're expanding the service nationwide. They've been testing it for the past year or so, and I caught my attention now because they are expanding it to most zip codes, as they put it. But it might already be in Charlotte, Joe, so it could be something to look at, because you can scan it and then run it through an OCR like Canopy Reader or Kurzweil or Fine Reader or whatever, and it kind of could just take away an extra step as far as scanning, especially if you don't have a scanning program, if you don't have a way to actually get the physical mail into the computer, webcam or something.
Right. Okay.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But you could take the images and run them into a scanning program and do it that way.
Sure.
So It's the outside. They don't open your mail.
And they're all PNGs. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Hey, mine. Fine Reader scans PNGs. I'm fine with that.
Well, that's true. That's true. And it probably does it a lot better than some of the menus that I see on various websites.
They don't open your mail. So it's just the outside. So, I mean, it's just going to be the address and who
Google's
it's from.
Already reading my Gmail. So why not? Who cares? I'm totally down with this. All security breaks down to an issue of convenience versus security. So
It's all your mail has been scanned anyway. This is nothing new. They scan it for sorting, and now they just finally made a way to make that and link that to you. So it's always been there. You could always, in fact, they say that they will do this for police requests and things like that. So, yes, people talk about online privacy now and how it's being, tampered with in insurance. Yeah. But this is nothing new. Your mail, he's auto sent to the regular mail. That's not really much better.
Sure. not a problem. What was it the other one I heard the other day on on Family Guy? It was, do you need something important lost or stolen off your front porch? Use the U.S. mail. That was one that I would totally agree with. The accessibility in WordPress has been somewhat lacking in the past, but it seems like it's been catching on lately. More and more default themes have been becoming accessible, with screen reading and visual issues being kind of kicked aside for those of us who use large print and magnification. And it seems like we have a survey of the week. Hey, now you know it's a regular show if we've got this back in the mix.
Yes. Researchers from the University of Salford in the United Kingdom. This is for WordPress admins. So if you are someone who has or has tried to run a blog, website, whatever, using WordPress, they want to hear from you. It's a 10 to 15 minute survey. Sorry, no money on this one, but could be very valuable input to help them do some things with that. So we've linked to that. You have through April to take this one. And like I said, anybody who's a WordPress admin, which is pretty much almost any website that's not ours.
I would say also we need to add talking box of the week almost, because Verizon Fios has their new entry into the talking world of set-top boxes.
True.
This is kind of cool.
This is cool. It actually came out a little while ago, but we just hadn't mentioned it yet. And God, I mean, there's so many of these talking boxes, and I still think we're missing one or two.
The DirecTV app I heard was updated, and it's a little easier to navigate. The DirecTV Now app for voiceover users, and I believe Apple TV version was working genuinely better, but I heard that it also had an update. I haven't heard earlier that the PlayStation version of Netflix is now working with the PlayStation TTS. So, this throw that into the mix with Amazon Video, which is now working with various screen readers as well on the consoles. So there's definitely a lot of things talking all of a sudden. I don't know if any of that's worth watching, but talking is good.
Yeah. Well, you could have the talking guy just talk straight over the bad shows.
You need a filter, right?
Yeah. But here's what might be interesting, especially for those of you who want to like doing reviews and such for us. No, I don't think we want to do a 30-minute review of every single one of these, but just a couple minutes. Yeah, well, shootout would be really interesting. And I'm thinking just a couple minutes on, what's the first people think, what voice is it and how responsive is it? So even if it's just like a couple minute little thing recording, if you have access to one of these things, I'm definitely interested in that.
The five questions are, what voices can it do? Is that the only voice? Is the sub, portion?
Right.
Can I speed up that voice? Can you speed it up?
Yep. Yeah,
that's the next question we usually get. The third one is can I install it, or is it able to be enabled by a hotkey, right? The fourth one is can I change the voice? So if it's male or female, kind of thing, right? And then five, do I have to have the latest version of whatever in order to get it, because I'm going to run right out and buy it? So therefore, is it pre-installed, or if I have an older version of this, can I get it? Those are generally the five questions we get asked the most at feedback@blindbargains.com about any of these devices.
Yep. And so because of the cable boxes and advanced TV or whatever you call it, because it's a lot of it's dependent on where you are in the country, you know, we don't have access to all of them here, nor could we get access to them easily. So definitely interested if you've picked up Verizon Fios, if you picked up one of the others that's been out there. I think Spectrum has one in certain areas, and Cox does now too. There are several others. So definitely get in touch with us. Of course, we did Comcast way back on episode like 4, I think it was.
And I've spoken to Stephen Guerra and Buddy Brandon about some of the fun they've been having with the Time Warner / Spectrum one. It's very interesting how that each company wants to approach this in a different way, whether it be here's a laptop, here's how you would access it, or the Comcast way where it's all cloud based TTS.
And that's not even depending on where you are, because Spectrum here, if I were to pick up cable, and I may, because it looks like I can actually get an actual Spectrum box, where in some parts of the country, I think where it's more legacy Time Warner, you can't get that. Here it's Charter, and which is all now Spectrum. So it's not even the same, you know, in certain parts of the country, especially for a company like Spectrum, which is merging in from Charter / Time Warner / others, you know, all in one. So,
was it Brightleaf? That was the other one.
Brightleaf.
Yeah, it's a company in Texas. It just stuck in my head. Brighthouse. But the problem for me is that this is all 5 years too late. So I've moved on to on-demand streaming apps, Chromecast. Yep. This was really great for when I was into DVRs and things like that, but I've moved on. So my current crusade is more, can I use the app on all the platforms, or am I just stuck using it on Apple TV? And two, is the on-demand versions available with audio description, like Netflix? And so that's kind of where I am here lately, more than live DVR. I'll just grab an antenna if I've got to do something for, like, you know, like you watching a Detroit Tigers game. Let's say you don't have your FM radio or tune in with you, right? You wanted to watch it on television, or if you're going to watch the Lions, that would make a lot of sense to me. And I would just pull out an antenna now. I rarely, if ever, find myself wanting to go up and down the dial looking for random channel 55 or 70. I know what I want to watch, and I want to watch it now, and I'll get it from the various Play Stores.
There's very few shows that you can't get some other way. And I mean, I'm not even talking about under the table ways. I'm talking legally. There's most shows you can find somehow now. And, you know, there's very few. Jeopardy comes to mind. that you true. Can't.
But, you know, that's really probably isn't. Even available in Crackle, I think. So I think you could actually find
Sports Jeopardy Sports Jeopardy was with really? Dan Patrick.
Just Sports Jeopardy? Wow.
Yeah, but regular, not so much. You know, the more we move forward, the more we move backwards. I don't have access to this, but this would be really interesting. Another early book.
Historical, huh?
This is a one from APH they found on Fred's Head that blog. One.
Yeah, those two ones. The Fred's Head Twitter picture. That's wrong.
It's the Fred's Head. They found the pretty much what they were calling the first recording from APH. Of course, we talked with Matt Rubery a couple months ago about early audiobook recordings. This is a copy of Gulliver's Travels, waiting for them to post the audio of this, which would be really cool, or at least a sample. But another book that they thought was lost, 100 copies were made, and one of them showed up from a collector. You know, you have this people who are given these books, and maybe they were passed down a generation or whatever, and as people pass away or whatever, people clean out things and find these collections, and if they know the right people, or somehow if they're willing to put in the research, hopefully some of this stuff makes it back to people, which is really cool.
Entire reality shows have been based off of nothing but finding old crap out of people's houses, apartments, and storage rooms. So that's not a surprise that something like that should come to our community. When
you think you might see that on Pawn Stars same day, right?
What's the value of this Braille embosser? That would be great. It's been passed down through the generations. It's the old style Perkins. You know, it's made of metal. You could actually really hurt somebody with this big thing. What could I do with it? Don't put it on the glass table. Move it over here.
We should find some really old piece of tech. Wind this tech and see if we can get on Pawn Stars with it and go to, you know, next summer in Vegas see what they'll do.
Antiques Roadshow, something like that.
What is this worth? Yeah. You wanted to mention before we go to break things that we haven't covered lately, but there was an Access World issue. Did we cover the March one yet?
There was a new Access World issue, and some of our good friends were writing in that particular thing. They had an audio review. They had a review of the audio game Manaman. If you hadn't heard about the audio RPG, there's a great article in there. Also some wonderful discussions about advocating for oneself. It's the March episode / see, I'm still doing podcasts. It's the March issue of Access World. And by the way, the April issue should be out very, very soon, in which we're going to be able to read some of the stuff from Shelley and Jamie on what they thought about last month's season. So what you didn't already hear on our very podcast with our regulars.
Feel the buzz of the buzz clip is in here from Janet Inkfire. Oh, I wrote an article in March on Google Home, which you could read. We pretty much covered it here.
You could use it with IFTT. Totally. And, oh wait, no, it's an article, right?
ENRT. Apple Viz with their monthly roundup. I'm really liking that feature that they've been doing, their monthly apps and news roundup, among other things that have been updated.
It's very helpful.
Yeah, the Tile app is one that's recently been noticed as one that's become a lot more accessible with VoiceOver. Tile is a little device that you can tie onto things, and then you can page it remotely to have it beep if you've lost something. It's a pretty interesting concept. I don't like the Tile specifically because it doesn't have a rechargeable battery, and you have to keep buying new Tiles every couple of years. But nevertheless...
Would you stop using that over, say, NFC?
Personally, I want one that has GPS capabilities. I'm willing to pay a little more for that.
Yeah, okay. I got you.
And then I can tie it to my luggage and then, you know, and find out if it gets lost or whatever. So we've linked to that. And all of our stuff is over at blindbargains.com. And the news, you can, like Joe said, you can comment on things. And of course, definitely send us your news tips as well. So when we have slow news weeks, we can take on your news tips. So definitely send them the feedback at blindbargains.com.
Long-time listeners to our various podcasts would know that we have talked about certain voices that have, well, entertained us beyond a reasonable, logical level to a point that we have mentioned them almost ad nauseum for certain months. The witchy voice would be one of those things that we mentioned a lot and still occasionally do, maybe once every 20 episodes or so. It was something that Steve Nutt actually does a very good imitation of, which is extremely scary. That voice has been available primarily for Android, and it seems like it has broken free of its confines of the mobile platform and is coming to more screen readers, and I highly suggest it. It's a great thing to have for Halloween, that is for sure.
It is.
Jay, how can people find this?
A lot cheaper on Android. A lot cheaper on Android, though. Like $1 or something and 39 euros, which is a little more than $40 on Windows per voice. I guess we're obligated to catch people. Here's a quick sample, I guess, of which.
Come in. Come in. You've nothing to fear.
Here's a sample of French Robot.
Bonjour. Je peux chanter pour toi si tu le désires. Au clair de la lune, mon ami Pierrot, prête-moi ta plume pour écrire un mot.
And there are others.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that.
So we do it? Okay, fine. There are some normal voices, which would throw in one of those as well.
Hello, I'm Jenny. You can use my voice for ebooks, SMS reading, ringtones, and much more.
There are a bunch of English ones and things like that. So, you know, I'm not as far as the actual natural sounding voices, they've got nothing on the Vocalizer or Acapella or Ivona, any of those. I think they're all
where are those,
far and away better.
Weird children, mysterious children, don't want to hear them late at night, twins that might kill you in your sleep voices. Those exist too in both that on Android and here. The company has made these available, you said, for 39 euros, which would be... Let's see. Shall I ask Google today? Let's see. I got it right.
Yeah, is it going to work? Is it going to work this time?
Hey, Google. How many US dollars are in 39 euros?
€39 is approximately 41 United States dollars and 64 cents.
41.64. Yes. 41, a lot 64. Of that is in the phrasing. It wasn't that she knew how to, you know, not know how to do it last time. It was that Joe didn't know how to do it last time in the correct phrasing.
Ask. You got to know how. You got to know how to talk to it. So there you go. Yeah,
41.46. So throw in some probably taxes or something to that effect, and that's how much you would get. But I'm telling you, it's a novelty, but sometimes it is really cool to have these voices, especially to scare people at work. The giggles that you will get is almost priceless.
Definitely. Now we can, I mean, I was trying to get us to the break before the last story. Now we go to the break. After the break, I can't read sometimes. After this break, we're going to come back with an interview from IREAT talking about the Index Fanfold V5. And you can hear what that thing sounds like. Also, Aaron Spears' tip, sound off, much more. So stay tuned. Oh, and last word, number. Yeah.
95
of the Mind Bargains cast. Oh, that's right. You're supposed to throw it to break because I come whatever.
Yeah. So, but that worked out just fine. That you can totally pick up on the other side when we come out of the interviews from episode 95.
Go make it happen with GoVision, the new transportable video magnifier from HIMS. With GoVision, you get all you'd expect from a transportable read, write, and distance magnifier with optical character recognition, plus the ability to enlarge and customize files, photos, and videos from your cell phone, tablet, or computer. Look at a slideshow of pictures from your vacation right from your thumb drive. Bring the world into focus with GoVision. For more information, call us at 888-520-4467. Visit us on the web at www.hims-inc.com and follow us on social media. HIMS, lifestyle innovation.
We are here at CTE BVI with John Taylor, Products Director for IREAT. You know, it turns out we couldn't actually get to everything at CSUN. There's so much going on there. So luckily, we found these guys here who are selling the latest in the Index Embosser series. So John, welcome to Blind Bargains.
Hey, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
What is this thing that I'm standing next to?
So this is the Fanfold DV5. This is the latest, like you said, of the Index line of embossers. It's a 330 character per second fanfold or tractor feed embosser. So it's nice and fast. It's really quick. One of the neat things about it is it's easily serviceable the way it's built, and it also has sound enclosure built around it, so it's actually really, really quiet as well. It's got all the V5 features, so that means it's got Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, it's got onboard Braille translation. You can even print from Android, iPhone, anywhere you want now. You can send docs, docx, PDFs, BRLs, BRFs right to it, and it can translate everything on board and print it for you.
Let's describe this physically. It kind of feels like a cabinet.
It is a little bit like a cabinet. So the top of it is a glass sheet, essentially, on a hinge that can lift up. So you can actually see through it. It's windshield glass, so it keeps all the sound like low, and so it's not very loud. But you can see through, and you can actually see the inner workings of the embosser as it is printing. So, and then you can lift that up and you get access to the actual embosser head itself.
What would you say measurements would be here?
Oh gosh, that's a good
question. It's a couple feet by, so it's standing about, I'd say 3 feet high, maybe?
Yeah, it's about 3 feet tall, but I'm going to say maybe 2 feet wide and 3 feet long, probably.
So you're not carrying it around. It's not a portable.
No, it's not.
It's in some similarities to the Braille box. Would you say
a little bit? Yeah, I would say it's a little taller than the Braille box. They did put it on wheels, so you don't have to pack it around. Thankfully, so you can just scoot it around wherever you want, and you can just kind of move it as necessary that way.
By comparison, the Braille box is another one that it does the cut sheet paper, right?
Yeah, essentially, the Braille box is Index's cut sheet high production machine, as where this is their tractor feed high production machine.
You say high production, so 330 characters per second or 1,000 pages an hour. So this is kind of, this is above consumer. This is more for schools or transcribing houses, right?
Big Braille production centers or people who are just simply doing a lot of Braille textbooks, books, you name it.
Let's print something.
Yeah, all right. I got it all set up.
All right, we already got to get going. We'll see. It's a kind of a loud exhibit hall here in California, so let's see what happens.
All right, we get it started here. Let me go down through here.
You can hear the voice talking here. He's going to load up a file.
and then we will see what happens. There is room in the cab that I think to load at least, what, 1,000 sheets of paper, and then it will spit back out 1,000 sheets of paper.
Exactly, you can fit a full box in here.
So it's designed to be left unattended.
Pretty much, yeah. You can fit, like you said, a full box of 1,000 sheet on one side, and it stacks 1,000 on the other side.
Here we go.
Yeah, we're in Boston.
And that was a few pages already?
Yeah, already done, like, or almost done with 4 pages.
Wow. Inner point, of course.
And yes, inner point, yep.
And like you said, tractor feet, cut sheet paper. So that just pops out.
Exactly, yeah. So then we can open up the lid here.
For all the people that are not, this is audio, but hey. Yeah. But we just spit out, you spit out a couple. Here, let's put the recorder inside here for a second so you can hear that. Yep. There you go. And yeah, we got a couple of nice pages of Braille, which of course somebody could rip off, and very nice, crisp Braille, and
exactly.
No paper wasted at all, of course. And you have your typical Braille functions, like a lot of the indexes, everything in Braille, menu, feed, on, off, online, offline, feed, the arrows, CHS.
Yeah, that's for increase and decreasing values.
Oh, right, yeah, the max and the plus 10. It's a lot of the things that you would be familiar with if you had an index, and if you weren't, of course, there's help and everything that you can do it. Everything's accessible with this, right?
It is, yeah. So all of the buttons themselves on the control panel are Braille labeled, and all the menu systems have full voice and speech feedback, so you can navigate it all.
Is there a preference of using your own index software versus using Duxbury? Is one work better than the other?
There's not really a preference. It's got the onboard Braille translation stuff, so you don't have to have anything else, but a lot of people use it with Duxbury. A lot of people use it with Braille 2000. We're fully compatible with all the mainstream Braille translators.
And of course, like you said, you could also do it from your smartphone as well, right?
You can, yeah. That's part of the onboard Braille translation, is allowing you to actually send those files from your iPhone, from an Android device, iPad.
Because those won't be translated.
Exactly, yeah. So if you have a PDF, for example, or Word doc that is not already translated, you can just send those from your phone and it will be translated on board.
PDF, Word. Did you say Google Docs, or is that what you're working on?
Google Docs, not yet, but yeah, we're working on it.
And then, of course, all these things have firmware, so something like that could be added on.
Exactly. That's actually another cool feature of the version 5s, is they've added onboard firmware upgrade. So you can simply plug these things into a network or connect them via Wi-Fi. And every here and there, you can go in through the menu, check for updates, and it will download and update itself.
Or before, you would have to do it from your computer and load in the software.
Exactly, yeah, you had to download a file.
It wasn't hard, but it certainly makes it definitely eliminates a step or two.
Lots easier this way, yeah.
And the new voice is the same as the other V5s. If we just,
Menu. Open menu mode.
It's a very clear voice. It's a lot compared to the old indexes. It's certainly less robotic, and I'm assuming multiple languages are available.
Absolutely, yeah. I think they support like 120 languages or something like that. Yeah, it's a lot.
Only 120. Yeah. Well, we'll have to work on that. Have to work on that. All right. Well, how much does this thing cost?
This one is $1,700. Or sorry, excuse me, $17,000.
You got everyone's hopes up for just a quick second.
Yeah, it's $16,995. Yeah,
$16,995, which is in this range is certainly competitive with the some of the other ones that are out there. You know, like I said, it's it kind of fills that gap between the 3,000, 4,000, like, you know, the Everest and the Basic Embossers.
Exactly.
Versus the $50,000, $60,000 ones, which do on the roll paper.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Any idea what it weighs? I guess, yeah. I mean, it's sturdy. It ain't moving.
Yeah, no.
But it wasn't that loud. I mean, we're in a loud room, but you could put this in an office, right?
Yeah, I think you could. You can easily have a conversation over it, no problem.
You're not going to disturb your desk mates by bringing this thing into your workplace.
Exactly.
And disturbing everybody else around you.
Exactly, yeah. You can easily have a conversation over it. It's kind of just a hum in the background, really.
Great. Is it available now? Can I buy it?
Not quite yet. There will be shipping in April.
Shipping in April. Mm-hmm. And if somebody wants to get in on pre-orders or get more information, what's the best way to do that?
You can either find us online at www.iread-at.com, or you can give us a call at 888-308-0059.
And of course, you distribute this in the U.S., North America, and then is it indexbraille.com?
www.indexbraille.com for all over the world. IREAC is the U.S. master distributor, so we can definitely put you in contact with somebody in your area if we can't help you out directly.
Hey, cool. Thank you so much for showing this to us.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
Hey, everybody. My name is Aaron Spears, and I've been on Blind Bargain before, demonstrating that talking infrared thermometer a while back, the IRT1. There's been discussion on the last couple of podcasts that I listened to about things that are a little off the wall as far as being smart devices, like a smart toaster and things like that. Well, this year for Christmas, I got a device that is Bluetooth enabled that I really never expected to have, and that's a bathroom scale. And my mom and dad said, you probably won't be able to use this, but we thought we'd try it anyway. I come in here with it after we got done opening all the gifts, and I found the app for it, got that app installed, and it probably took me about 10 minutes, and I had it all set up, and no kidding, I stood on the scale with the app running on my phone, and it told me how much I weighed. It was really interesting how easy it was. There was no pairing it up or anything. If I was going to have a device like this, it would be that convenient to use. There's no BSing around with trying to get it paired up and stuff like that. You just open the app, and I guess it's some kind of like a published Bluetooth protocol or something that you don't actually pair it up. It just makes noise, and the phone hears what it's doing and says, okay, it says 150 pounds or whatever. And anyway, I thought I'd demonstrate that. I'd fire up the app on my phone, show you all what it looks like, and in case I forget to say it again at the end, the scale is by Bally's, which is spelled B-A-L-L-Y-S. I'm not positive, but I think it's the Bally's BLS-7361. I think that's it, and I found it on Amazon just looking for it, but that's not where they got it. They said they got it at Gabriel's. So I walked in the bathroom here, and hopefully it'll just work. I'll just step on it. So what I do, let me turn that down just a tad. That's my BlackBerry Priv. Okay. Apps. There it is. I skipped it. Okay, I think I can just step on the scale. I'm going to bump it so it knows I'm here. I don't know if I have to do that or not, but I just make a habit of it because the other one worked that way. Alright, I'm standing on it. See if anything happens. Yeah, it did, just like that. Okay. You gotta tap on your name, and part of the setup process, I had to put my name in, tell it how much I weighed, and what I thought my body mass index is, or whatever the word is, and how old I was, if I didn't say that yet. That's why I know what my name is, and I'm gonna tap on this now. Okay. Are you swiping?
Results. Unit. Weight. 149.4
lb. Okay. I think it said I'm 149.4 pounds. So if I back up.
Back button. Mount scale.
Let me do that again. I'll just stand on it. See if it works now. Again.
Showing item 101.
Yeah. They're going to get in trouble with Apple for ripping off that sound they use for the sync complete, aren't they? Sounds just like the iPhone when you get a text message, or iTunes application when you're synchronizing it is complete. So let's tap on my name again and see if it says something different than 149.2. That way we know it's working. Yeah, 148.8. I like it to be a little bit different every time. That way I know I'm actually getting a new value rather than the one that it had the last time I opened the app. Now, there's a strange way to do. So let me tap on that maybe, on my name again.
2016-12-24.
Okay, these are history.
2016-12-24.
I guess the same, the second number must be my body mass index or whatever. So, it's a little bit hacky.
Let's
see if I can just randomly step on it again, if it works again. Yep. And, it put me back on that same screen, so I gotta tap on that. Okay, 148.8 again. That was really accurate, I reckon.
LB, BMI, 24.8.
If I can
button.
Keep swipe.
Save button.
Yeah, there's the save button. You just gotta keep swiping after you get your weight. You tap on your name. Then you got a save button. I'm not sure where that is, but I see.
Button. Back button. Save button.
There we go. It's like just a little bit above the home button. So if I double tap that, I think that would have automatically saved that so I can retrieve it later to see how much, what my weight's been doing, going up or down or whatever. So anyway, I could make this take longer, but I probably better quit there. Whoops. Gotta hit OK. I kept trying to hit back. And if I slide my scale under the vanity again, the sounds you hear when I swipe around and stuff on that phone are from the new Audex application, AUDEX. And you can turn off the sounds for navigation with TalkBack and turn that on instead. Install that application if you want to have different sounds. I thought I might mention that because I figured people would be like, where did them sounds come from? Anyway, if you'd like to give one a try, just look for the Bally's, B-A-L-L-Y-S, B-L-S, 7361. And it's got bad reviews, but I haven't had any trouble with mine. People saying they can't get it to connect to their phones. And oh, by the way, before I forget and lead people astray, it does have an iOS app, but I haven't been able to get it to work consistently. Yeah, imagine that. For once, an Android app is actually better off than the iOS one is as far as accessibility goes. And it might not actually be an accessibility problem. I can't tell. So I apologize. I can't necessarily recommend it for people who have only an iPhone. But if you have any kind of Android device with Bluetooth capability, I don't think it'd be much of a problem to use this app. And there's apparently another app called the iJoy Scale, which is probably a completely different brand, that also works, but I didn't try it. So the letter I, space, and then Joy, J-O-Y, I think, and then scale. I have no idea if that is accessible, but I thought I'd mention it. So, yeah. Want a talking scale? Well, you don't have to have a talking scale. You can just have a Bluetooth one. Have fun justifying that to people that didn't think it out. That's pretty slick, and it actually works, and it's not a pain in the butt. All right, thanks for listening, and goodbye, everybody.
It may be the fourth month of 2017, but there are a couple of other numbers that we should pay attention to, and that being iPhone 8 and iOS 11. They're less than 6 months away, and Apple is already getting things together for your applications to make the move over to the new operating system and phone. By that, I mean you can head on into 10.3.1, the latest update for your iOS devices, then go over to Settings, go to General, then About, and then when you're there, roll on down to your applications. Tap on that, and you'll see a list of applications that are going to be said to not work well with your current iPhone and iPad, but probably really won't work well with iOS 11. Sadly, there are a couple of notable names in this list for me on my iPad, Ear Monsters and Destino Games. So it looks like some audio games will be affected if this is truly going to be the case when we move to iOS 11. To see your list, again, head on over to Settings, General, About, and then down to Applications, and let us know what applications you see that you were surprised about with feedback at blindbargains.com.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback at blindbargains.com or tweet us at blindbargains.
Hey, imagine that. We got feedback on last week's show. Boy, we got feedback on last week's show.
Did we get feedback on last week's show?
You know, so April Fool's, and we did a few different things. Wow. You get a different experience, by the way, if you listen to it through versus fast-forwarding, which is something you decided to try to fast-forward, which I understand. That's what people do. Are you around, Patrick?
No, I'm not. Sorry.
Okay.
Try again later.
So
he's more oblong than round.
Not round. So to the casual ear, it just, I wanted you to explain a little bit, because to the casual ear, it sounds like things were just repeating, but apparently things weren't exactly repeating.
Well, you know, you guys came up with this idea, and I'm like, okay, I'll go with it. Sure. Why not?
Look at this. throw us under the bus.
That's the reaction we get.
Very nice.
Okay, actually, it was partially my idea. I will take some of the blame for that. But anyway, so the deal is, they were like, hey, we should have this segment, and it should repeat. And I'm like, okay, that's easy enough to do, but why not have it to the point where, let's see if anybody figures this one out. So yes, it is a repeating segment. Sort of. A repeating segment. Kinda. in which, well, there were five instances of, well, you probably already know this if you heard the show, there were five instances. Oh, by the way, iOS 10.3.1 is out, so that whole tip is that whole thing is now completely useless. But, you know, it's okay. So iOS 10.3 was out about five times, but there are slight variations in each version. Each one of those loops, well, except for the first one and the fifth one, those are the same. But 2, 3, and 4, those are all completely separate edits. I started from scratch with each one of those and just did things a little differently, took some of the little bits out that were in and, you know, added a few things and moved a couple of things around so that if you actually did listen to it all the way through, it's not a complete loop. Just because I could.
See? See?
And to be fair, because,
you know, we here at Blind Bargains care. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, well, that, some people would say we didn't if you listened to that particular episode.
Well, but, that's not the, my problem.
No. I already have tire tracks from that bus. Would you quit?
There's five. There was five loops. I only counted four. Was there a fifth one?
Yeah.
No, listen to it. No, listen to it again. No, listen to it again. No, I'm kidding. Oh. It was
better the first four times.
I would say the listenership, though, was super helpful. There were people who wrote in and said, hey, did you guys load the wrong file? Or, hey, I think there's a problem with episode 94.
I got a bunch of those.
Really, really cool.
I got a bunch of those. It seems that I'm like responsible for production or something. So when things go wrong,
yes, you had some of those. I had some.
You know,
of those.
We make it a point to mention that you're the guy that produces the show.
Yeah, and, so that's why I get thrown under the bus. Okay, it's all your fault. I got you. Know. I see how it is.
Kevin was worried about you because we had said before that you were sick. So Kevin Barry's like, I hope Patrick's okay,
feeling well. Yeah.
Well, yeah. No.
Then there were people like Kathy Blackburn who said that, you know, I'm not recommending this episode. And then there were other people who were like, you know, better again next year.
It really is easy to come up with these.
We've been doing them now for more than half a decade. And so sometimes they work, sometimes they don't work. But consider this message received. And we are very happy that you listened to the show. And we are very happy that you guys
It wasn't all negative at all.
Some people actually wrote in like 2 days later and said, you know what? It was kind of funny. And so that was kind of nice to see.
And it seems like in the Twitter people, it sounds like the Twitter people were a little more, amenable to the idea.
Well, they didn't have to open an email client. See, the thing is by the time you start to write an email, you have more time to get mad.
you can build your rage further. Yeah, you were already down the trail of irate, I hate, and you're set. So, yeah, Twitter, you can just, you know, spout off something
that 140 characters. I was glad to learn about iOS 10.3 and Podcast 94. I was glad to learn about iOS 10.3 and Podcast 94.
That's one of my favorites. That was awesome. Alex Hall,
who we
had to provide some support to, but Alex got it, which we thought was kind of funny.
Yes, we do support our listeners. We sure do. Yep.
Yeah. So definitely a lot of feedback there. We have some of them in the show notes. If you'd like to see what we saw, you can get an idea of just what other people felt about this particular episode. You can see if that jives with your own opinion here in Sound Off. But definitely, that was interesting, and we appreciate your feedback. Feedback at BlindBargains.com.
If you skimmed, by the way, really interesting tip on the Franklin Language Bastard.
Yes.
We did have 1% Twitter. So somebody asked about, did they release a new version of that?
I was listening to that. I was reviewing the episode before we sent it out. I was reviewing it in headphones, and Ricky heard it as she was walking past because I have open ear headphones. And she's like, what is it? What are you doing to your poor computer? I'm like, no, it's an audio file.
I love the ending of the tip, too. That was great.
I broke it.
Good old Keynote Gold, right? Is that what that is? Voice, right?
Yep.
You know, what's really scary is the ideas we don't put to recording. So if you thought this was kind of scraping the barrel for us, no, we actually had much worse ideas. So this was actually the cream of the crop. And if you have ideas for April Fools, bother us sometime before CSUN, because this is generally when we start thinking about it, is January, February. So all of that leads us into something that is much easier to come up with week to week. The last word, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. So I see this article here, Joe. This is all about fail. Hashtag fail. Sad. And
so true. But successful hashtag fail. So they failed upwards, as George Costanza says often. 20 companies that are known for being successful, but in the end were failures. Time.com put together a great list of these 20 particular items in technology. Some of them are very famous. There are a couple of these I actually owned. Sega Dreamcast. Oh, love you, Sega Dreamcast.
Yeah, I know. All the video game fanatics love the Dreamcast.
Yes.
Number one being Napster, of course, which a lot of us used. That came out right during my college days.
Today, although purchased and kind of rebranded, but kind of silly. But yeah, Napster that started the boom, to go right around with it. The Motorola Rocker.
What was that? I don't think
that was the first version of a mobile, quote unquote, Apple Music playing thingy before the iPod. It was the Motorola ROCKR. Oh,
some of these are big, spectacular failures. Windows 8, which,
I would agree.
So many of us skipped from 7 to 10. Remember Netscape? Remember AltaVista, the search engine?
Lycos, go fetch it. Yes, I remember AltaVista.
I used Hotbot. I don't know why.
Yeah, I didn't use that anymore, because when I worked at a major tech support company, people would tell people to go to Hotmail and Hotbot, and then people would type the wrong words for that. So
yeah,
we were asked not to make recommendations on tech support teams for various services that could get people. Hotbot, people would actually type in HOTBOD, which was great. That was really funny.
QR codes, which just kind of died.
Kind of sort of here, but kind of sort of not here. So it's a success, but not a success.
Pebble. Wow. That's a pretty recent entry. The Pebble early smartwatches.
Definitely. But, selling out to Fitbit means that their ship came in, but it certainly crashed on the shore as it was going to. Betamax. There's a classic.
Yep. Okay. Definitely.
Yep. So there's
TiVo surprises me a little bit. TiVo, really? Is it because of the DVRs on cable boxes now? TiVo is like the
real player of technology. They exist because a lot of their patents do really well for them. And that's the same thing with Real Player. Real Media actually still exists because it has a lot of patents. TiVo's the same way. They went on a lot of DVR technology. And just recently finished the lifetime of their units. So those who bought the lifetime support found out that the lifetime ended recently for some of their products.
That's usually not a good sign when they do things like that. So we've linked that whole list from, it's a magazine list. So there's always a couple on there that you're like, huh? What? But
really?
Really?
AOL?
Most of these,
Well, I guess AOL. Oh, yeah. AOL, as your parents would know it now, Facebook.
Or the guys that sent those little coasters out to you.
Yes. Have you got a table that needs something to keep it propped up and not wobbly? AOL's got the disc for you. In fact, there's 15 in your mailbox right now.
It was more useful when they were floppies. You could use them again.
Yeah, you agree completely.
Yeah, yep. True. You could totally just take them over, couldn't you? I didn't even think of that.
Yep.
I used to do the same thing with cassette, catalogs and
yes,
demos and stuff from AT companies. Like, hey, blank tapes. Thanks.
That's more useful than whatever it was you were trying to sell me.
You could build with AOL CDs or floppies. You could build with Legos.
But yeah, the problem with Legos,
that would be nice. Yeah. The problem with Legos, though, is you usually need somewhere to put the Legos on to start, right? Well, no. Now there is thanks to a recent Kickstarter. Is this thing still kickstarting or is it over? Now I have to look this up. Someone has come up with the idea of tape. Lego tape, as in peel it off, stick it on a surface, and now you have Legos.
That is strange. That is just a real strange idea. Wow. Okay.
It's so strange that they've gotten how many hundreds of thousands already on this, and I'm not.
Yeah, but that's because it's mostly parents who've stepped on them at 3 a.m. That's where that comes in. And I have done such said things, so I would know.
Now they can't call it Lego tape. It's called Nemuno Loops. It's actually on Indiegogo, but is quote unquote compatible. I'm surprised Lego hasn't
totally
sued these guys, or maybe they will.
License. Nobody's really.
It's even compatible with Mega Bloks, including
Duplo
somehow.
Oh, Mega Bloks. Oh gosh. This is
7 days left as of the recording, so probably you're going to have 2 or 3 days. You will have a couple days. And they've raised 1,549,000.
What?
Of 19,000% of their $8,000 goal.
For your Lego. This world confuses, frightens, and scares me. So there's that. I was recently crushed, though, to find out during our month off while we were posting season audio, I found out that Lego Dimensions, which is a game that Kyle and I play, our 14-year-old in the house, that has such wonderful Lego sets as Knight Rider. I have a Lego kit, which is just awesome. It sits next to my Lego DeLorean. Was unfortunately canceled, and that was really depressing because they were coming out with a lot of great 80s properties to go along with some modern properties, like there's a Lego Harry Potter set, there's a Lego Adventure Time set, and so you actually could mix and match your characters. You could have E.T. and Mr. T. in the same video game at the same time. It was definitely something unique and wonderful, so I was sad to hear that.
You really said after our month off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this is one of the things that moved me. Oh, yeah, off? I know. It's well, I mean, off in that we had audio, say, it was all done, it was all set.
I don't think Patrick would think it was a month off.
No, he definitely would not.
I could, since Scott was writing the articles and I turned in all my audio, it was my month off. I don't know about anybody else's. With that said,
it was my turn. It was my turn to write up, and it was my turn to write up show notes. I enjoyed doing that actually because I, you know, got to brush through the audio a little more. You know, we've outsourced that a few times, which is also a cool way to do it. But you know, I figure, you know what, I'm sitting here, I'll do it this year, and why not? It was kind of fun, and then I have total control.
This is true, and you get all the correct spellings of all the names, and then you can remind us all who forget the correct spellings of the names how to spell their names correctly.
We got them all. Yeah, no, we everyone people are getting to the point now where people are remembering to ask for them, which is really, I think there was only one or two that weren't there, and I had to, but luckily they were presidents and CEOs, so they were names that were easy enough to find.
That, and they were names that you could kind of maybe guess at, and or at least look to see if there was a press.
I didn't do any guessing. I verified everyone. Good.
All right.
That's all there. So there you go. Lots of CSUN coverage. Tons of it from me, Joe, Shelley, Chancey, even Buddy, over at blindbargains.com. Yeah. So definitely. Yeah. No.
So a lot of good friends helped us out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we had a lot of good friends help us out. And also those audios have really been listened to. I asked you guys to go ahead and click on those links so that way we could track them. And you have done that in droves. And we do appreciate it. All the audio is up higher than last year. This has been a continuing trend for us. And we appreciate that you appreciate what we do. And going and clicking on those links and passing them around to other people so they can also click on those links for the audios that they like really helps us. I can tell you right now that Amazon, still popular by your clicks. Yeah. We could definitely tell that is still a thing. So check that out and all the other audios, blindbargains.com. Head on over to the podcast tab, click on that. Or, hey, go grab the Blind Bargains app. You know, it's been updated for iOS. I don't know if you've gotten the update. You should.
Really cool. And you should, because it will fix notifications. And Mike is working on the update to Android. So those of you, you know, the Android app is kind of, it looks like old Android. We know that. And so it's an in-process thing. And we will have the updated Android version coming soon. It will be completely refreshed and where it should be. So we will hopefully have the apps back in parallel, which I prefer to have them in parallel with each other as opposed to one way better than the other. So yeah, definitely you can get the old one for now, but the new one will be out soonish, I hope. Oh, got a shout out. This just came in. It looks like the Envy Access in Process blog with a little bit of a CSUN wrap up and a shout out to the Blind Bargains interview. So thanks, guys. I appreciate that on their blog.
Hey, that's awesome. Check out thank you.
That
and congrats on your certification thing. If you didn't hear or you chose not to listen to all of last week's episode for various reasons, Envy Access came out with a certification process for those who are interested in becoming trainers to train others.
I got a 77.
Oh no.
I mean, I'm, you know,
You know, I don't know. And you, that's your primary screen reader.
My primary screen reader. So, but what I noticed as far as the certification, well, I of course didn't read, you know, I just tried to do it without the, you know, of course they say you should read the training material and you should read it, which is true. Some of the things have to do with the different keyboard layouts, desktop and laptop, and I'm mostly a laptop person and don't really know the desktop layout. So that was one thing that I think hurt me a little bit. So if, knowing that going in, my one tip, I guess, would be to know both the desktop and laptop layouts because they are both.
Is not how you would train someone how to do it the way you do it, to train somebody how they might do it in any situation is a good rule of thumb. So sometimes what can happen is we get very good at knowing the product from our own perspective, and that's not always the perspective that carries over to some people, depending on their, you know, vocation or what their goal is. So coming out of my vocational rehabilitation days, that's a quote from those good old days. But you can learn a lot more about the things I'm into now by following me on Twitter, twitter.com/RangerStation, all one word. There you'll be seeing a lot of information about Persona 5, which is a video game that I'm way into because Persona has a new game. Also soon to be a lot about Doctor Who because Doctor Who begins again April 15th. Okay, I'm done now.
Google, skip ahead 30 seconds.
I noticed that. So, where can people find all information about Blind Bargains and you, Jay?
Oh, we have a Twitter. Huh? What is it? Blind Bargains. Oh, yeah. Blind Bargains on Twitter. Blind Bargains on Twitter. Feedback at blindbargains.com on the email. Or, of course, you can go to atguys.com to get some hot products for your mobile device. I am in, if you're downloading this right away, we're in the Milwaukee area at the NFA Wisconsin. That is this Friday to Sunday, like pretty much now, or it might have been in the past, depending on when you downloaded this. Then at Michigan AER, April 27 and 28. And of course, the summer shows coming up, ACB in Reno.
Sooner than we realize, I had a conversation with a vendor today about possible promotions with this very podcast. And I was like, good grief, that's like 3 months away. Wait, I just took a month off. What?
No. Oh, they're coming up very soon. So definitely stay tuned for all that. But a lot going on, and we definitely appreciate you listening. And good to be back to real normal.
Actual
normal. Yeah. Thanks also this week to our sponsor, Hims. We do appreciate their support, Hims Lifestyle Innovation. Again, check out those, the CSUN coverage, the session recordings and things like that over on our website at Blind Bargains. And you can visit Hims on the web at HIMS-INC.com.
Mr. Patrick, and thank you also our good friend, Mr. Spears, for dropping in some audio.
And also thanks over to Irie AT for coming on and talking about the Index Embossers. And like I said, thanks to him for sponsoring this week's show. You can and visit them on the web.
For your feedback, both positive and negative, for last week. We actually love it and we do appreciate it. We're not making fun or light.
Yes.
It was really cool to see all that. Whether it was good or bad, we laughed at all of it. It was good. And we hope you go back and laugh at that episode too, now that some time has passed and you heard a little bit about what it took to put that together. And you get some distance and then revisit it. You might find it a little interesting, especially now that 10.3.1 is out. Like Patrick said, it's just, you know, it's moved on. Time has passed.
And that's it, right? Are we done?
Yeah. Have a great week, everybody. See you in about 7 days. Unless you're listening to all these at once, then we'll be right up in a second.
And if you're listening to this on the app, well, there might be an April Fool's show coming up next. So
that's true.
That's
you were warned. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's just how it is. By the way, go past these things sometimes. You know, the little disclaimer at the end, the copyright. You gotta listen to the end of these shows, not even just April Fools, but you never know.
You never know what you're gonna hear at the end of a Blind Bargains cast. Truly. Neither do we, by the way, sometimes.
So you know. That's gonna do it, folks. We will see you next time.
Bye.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2017.
And there is nothing interesting at the end of this podcast.